station number 4298, reel 3. Frankensworth, reel 3.
Did you ever have occasion for medical care?
I might have had, but the drugs, there was nothing. I believe somebody gave me some pills because of very nasty stomach upset. I remember I fainted several times on the toilet, but...
What, because of the herring?
Because of the herring, most likely, yeah.
Was there a hospital?
No. Possibly there was a sick ward. I believe there was, yeah. But, well, look, in the beginning there was nothing. It's almost like creation. And then, slowly, not so slowly, really, because it came as a bang with this new man, things improved and became quite acceptable, with the danger of becoming too cushy.
Now, what about money? Did you bring some with you, wrapped up in your toilet paper, or could your wife send it?
I had some money, I suppose, in my pocket, what one usually has, and I do know that... I sold quite a number of my drawings, so people must have had money. I don't think there was any restriction. Ah, yes, parcels. Eventually parcels came. And certain things were not allowed. Possibly chocolate, because they were wrapped or so. I only know that the soldier who searched the parcels again pushed certain things. I believe food wasn't allowed, but chocolate bars he pushed under the laundry so that he hadn't seen them. You know, there was always this sort of friendliness is not the right, almost a sort of comradeship, because after all he also was prisoner of war in a way. And soldiers also want some little bit extra. So why shouldn't these bastards get also a bit extra? There was this sort of attitude, like the story with the apples, which I told you.
There have been reports from some of the camps of the soldiers or guards stealing things that were sent to the internees. Like chocolates or something.
I've heard about it. I'm sure it's true. I haven't experienced it. Everything is normal in abnormal conditions. So if somebody told me this has never happened, I would say, I don't believe you. Obviously, it must happen. But the opposite has happened too. And I prefer to notice the opposite, because it's much more valuable.
Would you say that the other internees in the camp had a similar or different background to yours? The reason trying to think whether the people were segregated in some way.
No.
Socioeconomic grounds, religious, whatever.
No. It was a cross-section of the people who came to this country entirely. So a lot had a similar background. Viewed from a great distance. Once you, the nearer you come, the more different people become. But it was mainly good middle class, the people who came to this country, obviously. And in any case, German Jews usually belong to the middle class or even upper middle class, and very few lower middle class. So from this point of view, it was homogeneous to a degree.
So someone like that miner was quite an exception.
He was quite an exception.
Did there develop a sort of social hierarchy in the camp?
Not during the Shell period. Groups, of course, were formed. The Austrians kept together to a degree, or I would assume if there were 15 textile manufacturers in the camp, well, they had so much business to discuss, they would form a group, or people who played cards, lots of them. Then the Austrians played a lot of chess, and very good players too. I played with them, and I really felt how weak my playing was in comparison to them. They very often in their cafe sat for an afternoon and played chess, so they were really they had a routine almost. This friend of mine who I mentioned, he took chess lessons. Possibly there was half an hour on one day which he could spare, so he filled it with chess lessons. Writing one didn't do very much. In the beginning one had to write on special paper.
You mean letters?
Yeah. And again, for drawing, for example, paper was very difficult to get by. I showed you some drawings which were on some claim forms for, was it old age pension or something? A very nice bluish paper on which one could draw very well. On the back, the front had print on it. But when this new chap arrived, he got drawing paper, he got drawing materials. So one could.
How did the Germans and Austrians get on? Well, thrown together by your common language?
You mean German internees?
Yes,
German-Jewish internees? Well, obviously. There were certain affinities. The Austrians stuck together to a degree, but I don't think these were very noticeable divisions. As it happens, I had a few Austrians in my house, so I was a lot together with Austrians, but that was just by chance. I don't think there was a great difference, because a common language to a degree, common fate after all, so they all could complain to each other or tell stories about their past.
Were there Italians?
No, I don't think so.
Who were the A and B internees?
Well, I suppose A were most likely people where they knew something about them, or at least had good grounds to suspect them. And B most likely were the cases where they were not so sure, but almost sure. Or some people who were politically very active. I suppose for A and B they had reasons. That was proper selection, with some mistakes, obviously. They always do happen, but generally I would assume there was sense in it.
How much contact did you have with them in the camp?
Well, by choice, not too much. Out of curiosity, I talked to some people. I mean, they didn't wear a badge, but one could almost see or smell that they belonged to this group. And it was interesting to talk to them and to hear what they had to say. And particularly noticeable was the idea that the war would be over very, very, very soon. In brackets, our victory is very close. It wasn't very difficult to find out who was A.
I suppose that indicates they must have been quite confident.
Oh, very, very. Well, they had every reason to be, if you looked at the map. Germany was winning on all fronts. Strangely enough, I never had the feeling they will win. When I look back, I asked myself why. I really have no explanation, but it just didn't enter my mind. And it should have entered my mind, indeed. I do know that I had made up my mind that should the Germans land in England, I would try to escape from the camp. I didn't want to be a sitting target. That's the only thought I had. But it didn't mean that I expected the war would be lost. It simply meant that there is a situation which I would not stay in the camp and would get out by any means I could find. But otherwise, no.
Did you eat and sleep together with the internees?
Well, if you sit in a tent with 2,000 people and there is a seat, you don't know who's next to you.
No, I mean, they didn't have their own tent.
No, no, no. Whether they were in separate houses. Well, yes, I would assume so. Of course, they were first, so that they were put in 20 houses from here to there, and the other houses were empty, and then the next lot came in. But again, all these things happened. They were not organized, I'm sure.
It's been suggested to me that the A internees were very pleased that you, C's, had been interned, because that would, of course, make the German army's job all that much easier when they arrived in England and found you conveniently in camp.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised.
And then they, of course, planned to be let out immediately.
Oh, yes, and take over the camp or
yes,
something
and then
like
given
this.
Honours, probably.
Yes, yeah.
Now, you spoke quite good English. What about other people?
Well, from very bad to quite good. This friend of mine used the time in the camp to take English lessons. He was much older than I am. In fact, he died quite recently, 95 years old. And he had great difficulties to learn English. And he had to learn English very, very quickly to be able to do his business. So, it didn't sound too good. In fact, it sounded awful, and he improved it very much in the camp.
What language did you use in general, communicating amongst yourselves?
German, except I just... I told you this, his daughter read out the letter which he had written from the camp, which he had found in a correspondence, and he writes that most people, that everybody speaks German, but with me he speaks English.
Did you have a camp slang? Probably you weren't there long enough. When people don't speak a language well enough, they speak a pidgin or a dialect of the language.
No, except this awful habit of using English words with German endings. I can't think of an example now, but it is pretty horrible. That, of course, always happens. Even now, when I talk to Germans who live in this country, occasionally these things happen.
Did the officers speak German?
As far as I know, nobody did. But I'm not sure. Again, possibly later on they put somebody in who spoke German. Some were Scots, very nice too. The officers were a very pleasant crowd, I must say. Very, very nice indeed. Gentlemen is the best word to describe them. The soldiers at the beginning, I believe it was a Welsh guard, but I'm not sure. But they certainly was some guard. They were all 6 foot or more. In the beginning, they were rather rough, very unfriendly, because they didn't know. But later on, all this became much more mellow and more sensible.
Presumably, they'd been told you were enemies.
Enemy aliens, very simple. But the story was the apples.
Yes. I was wondering what sort of person would be an officer at a camp like that. Would they be older officers who were too old for perhaps a more active front line kind of role?
No, they were not old men. The first commander, I think, was an elderly man. The other officers were middle-aged. They were just delegated to do this, and they had to click their heels and do it, whether they liked it or not. And this is also what the new commander more or less implied. You mustn't think that I like the job I have to do, but I have to do it, and so I try to do my best for all of us.
Though, of course, that's the excuse that the Nazi defendants used at Nuremberg. Just doing my job.
Ah, yes, but, I mean, there's a difference. If you are delegated to clean the lavatory, well, that's what you do. But if you are delegated to slaughter people, you might possibly, well, refuse even risking your life.
Well, I think from what you've said, it's clear that the officers were doing more than they were delegated to, with making a special effort on your behalf. And the soldiers as well, perhaps. What about recreation? You said you could go on walks outside the camp.
Once a week or so, yeah.
Was there anything else, like football or something, that the younger men...
Well, in the end, all these things came about. I know there was competition in running and football. I don't remember having seen it, but it's quite possible that somebody produced a football. Live in this country now for quite a while. It's still a mystery to me. I don't understand it. I know I went with a friend of mine to a cricket match because he wanted to go. I thought, this is a wonderful opportunity. You must explain to me everything. Oh, yes, I will. And then when the game started, he got so excited. He used all the... Now this is the maiden over. And this is... he did... I didn't learn anything about it because he was so full of it. Yeah, cricket is something utterly and completely alien to German sport.
What about celebrations in the camp? Religious holidays or national holidays?
Possibly the Jewish community celebrated certain holy days. I'm sure they did, but...
Did you find that being in the camp had any effect making you more or less religious?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
In the Isle of Man, there were also women's camps, but...
Were they separated?
Yes, they were separated.
Oh, I see. Because two friends of mine, a couple, went to the Isle of Man. They were not separated, as far as I know. They were not. I believe not.
You mean they were in camp together?
I believe so, yeah. Hmm. I can ask my wife. Whether she remembers, I don't know.
In any case, there were women's camps nearby, so that the men and women could get together socially, but you would have had nothing like that. What happened then in the camp with homosexuality?
9 weeks. So I don't think very much happened during these first nine weeks. It may well have happened because of the close proximity they lived, but I don't think that much. Don't forget, there was a lot of pressure, worries, and so on. I'm sure after 3, 4, 5 months of seclusion and so on, these things will have happened, but not so early.
You just weren't there long enough.
No.
Now, you said you had to write on special paper when you wrote to your wife.
Yeah.
I didn't follow you up on that. What do you mean, special paper?
It was a queer sort of paper covered with some sort of white substance. So what the idea was, I don't quite know, but we couldn't use our own paper. Perhaps the special paper wouldn't take any invisible ink like my cigarette paper, something like this. I'm sure this was used before and for more serious purposes, for prisons or something like this. But in any case, in the beginning, we got this. Later on, we could write on our own paper.
How often were you allowed to write?
I don't know whether there was a limit. I don't know. Possibly you could write as often as you like, but whether it left the camp and how long it was with the censor, I don't know. But obviously, my friend was longer in the camp than I was, and he wrote regular letters. So all these things eased.
And so you didn't hear from her for the first 4 weeks or so, and then the commandant brought in the mail from the censors.
Yeah.
How heavily censored was it? Scraps of paper with great holes in them?
No, no. I never saw anything which was visibly censored. I suppose it was just a formality. I don't think that there was very much to be censored. But, of course, again, enemy aliens writ large. So the first idea was, you must do this. But there, I don't think there were... If there were half a dozen spies in it, possibly... Nazis, yes, but anything, any activity which would endanger the state, I can't believe it. Possibly I'm a bit naive in this respect, but I don't think so. It was, again, one of those things, you must be careful.
Did you have to write your letters in English?
Again, I don't know. I wrote my letters in English, I believe, but I don't think there was any law about it. But I think I told you previously how I got my first message out to my wife. Somebody visited a friend of mine who was a bee and already in the camp. And I knew she was coming, so that was the first day I arrived, or second day. So I went to the gate, and when she came in, I went forward and shook her hand and left a piece of paper in her hand with a message to my wife that I was well and where I was, which again proves how quickly a peaceful civilian turns into, well...
Well, you could have been in quite a bit of trouble, what with the cigarette papers and then doing that.
Well, the cigarette paper couldn't trouble me. I mean, this is what they did. It was so funny. But this is... Who would notice this? I mean, I was perfectly certain she would close her hands and put it in her bag, and that's it. And once you are in a risky situation, or in a dangerous situation, your ability to take risks grows, and your willingness to take risks also grows, undoubtedly, like with the railway sleeper and the potato fritters. And, you know, you live a different sort of life.
Speaking of risks, you said you would have tried to escape had the Germans invaded.
Yeah.
What was your plan?
Not a very set plan, but a very... firm decision. But at this moment, or when this moment came near, to get out wouldn't have been very difficult. How planned or how clever one would have done it. Yeah.